session.
You may be seated.
Good morning.
The first case set for oral argument this morning is Joseph LaFors versus Krista LaFors. We have Holly Smith here on behalf of the appellant. Mr. LaFors will be arguing, and Deborah Watson on behalf of Appellee Ms. LaFors, who will also be arguing. Each side will have 15 minutes to present your initial argument, and then Ms. Smith, you'll have a five-minute rebuttal at the conclusion of the appellee's argument. With that, Ms. Smith, you may proceed with your argument.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Holly Smith, and I am here on behalf of my client, Joseph LaFors, and in fact, for the first time in my legal career, so it is certainly an honor to be here before the court this morning. This has been a very interesting case and one that touches an area of law, in particular, a separate maintenance that really hasn't been litigated very much in this state. But this morning, I would like to address three things of why reversal is appropriate in this case. First, why it was error for the circuit court to deny the parties a divorce and that the scope of the decree was improper. Second, why it was error for the court to divide the marital estate upon issuance of the separate maintenance decree. And third, why the court erred in awarding Ms. LaFors permanent alimony. To give the court a brief background, my client filed for divorce back in January of 2019. Ms. LaFors answered and counterclaimed for divorce. She then later amended her counterclaim to include a request for separate maintenance and, in the alternative, a divorce. Following the trial, the court denied my client's request for a divorce and instead issued a separation, dividing all the marital property, and issued the separation for a period of 2 years, basically commanding my client to continue in the Air Force so that Ms. LaFors could receive lifetime TRICARE benefits. And this segues into my first issue before the court in that the circuit court denied, abused its discretion in granting a separation instead of a divorce. Now, in this case, the denial did not come from due to a failure of proof of grounds. The court found that grounds existed, but that was not the basis for the denial. Ms. LaFors' counterclaim included a request for a divorce, so the court could have granted it on that basis. The decision to deny the divorce was simply to allow Ms. LaFors a financial benefit of lifetime health insurance and essentially allow her access to the base and for a reduced cost of groceries on the Air Force base. So under the decree, my client has now been commanded to continue to be married, despite his objection to continue to be married. And the trial court has also conscribed my client to the armed forces, saying you have to retire at 20 years and stripping him of any freedom to change employment.
That's interesting. I'm curious about that. Is it that he has to retire at 20 years or that the 20-year mark is significant for obtaining the 2020 benefits? In other words, it seems possible, just in any case, that a service member might continue on active duty despite reaching the 20-year mark. For this gentleman, for instance, he may be in the middle of an enlistment contract. He's an enlisted service member, and that could carry him on, could promote, need more time in grade. So I'm curious about how you see the court's judgment in this case. Is it that Mr. LaFors has to retire at that point? Can he continue? What effect does it have if he continues? And maybe you don't know.
Right. And thank you for the question. You're correct in that the judgment doesn't command him, Mr. LaFors, you have to retire at 20 years. But what you do have to do is continue in the Air Force until June of 2022, where Ms. LaFors would obtain those lifetime benefits, because that is when it vests of her 2020 benefits.
Did you ever raise that concern to the trial court, that if you grant separate maintenance,
that my client will be unable to leave the Air Force?
I did, and that was in the form of a motion for reconsideration that was filed after the decision was handed down. I made it clear to the circuit court that, listen, along with a lot of other issues, this commands my client to stay in the military, and if he's not, if he chooses to leave or gets dishonorably discharged or something like that, it would be cause for contempt. So he's basically in a lose-lose situation. And I mentioned this, you know, in my brief, in that there's also other concerns as it relates to military code. You know, not only the trial court is forcing him to be married, but he also cannot be in any other type of romantic relationship during the term of this decree. And if he is, you know, that could be subject to an investigation and dishonorable discharge, and then again, subject to contempt under this court's order. And I had briefly put this in my submissions to the court when we're talking about this right to a divorce, right? And I understand that the courts have established a constitutional right to marry. And I want to make it clear that this court does not have to establish a particular right to a divorce to get to the right decision in this case. I would submit that this court only needs to reverse on the grounds that the denial for the divorce was improper. And actual grounds for the divorce did exist under Ms. LaFleur's counterclaim for divorce, and that the scope of the order was error based on the reasons I have outlined. So my second point, the issue of the trial court dividing the marital estate upon issuance of the separate maintenance decree. And this is a really important issue, particularly because nowhere in the separate maintenance statutes, nor does any legal precedent in the state, provide the court authority to divide property under this kind of decree. The only time the court has that authority is at the time of a divorce.
Did you raise that issue before the circuit court?
I suppose it would have been in the form of my client at trial requesting the divorce. He had proposed a property division. And so I would submit that that would be his position, that the divorce should have been granted and the issue of the separate maintenance upon a property division was improper. So I would submit that it was raised in as far as my client argued that the separate maintenance was improper on the face.
So at trial, you're asking for a divorce. Your client's asking for a divorce. And as he's asking for that, I think I saw in the proposed property division that he was essentially asking for the retirement to be allocated 100% to him. Was that his position throughout the trial?
I believe that was, Your Honor.
And do you understand the court actually divided at 50-50? Is that the resolution the court made of that retirement?
Yes, Your Honor. And, you know, to be clear, my client is not asking that the court find that the property division is inequitable or that we have to remand and relitigate the property division. This issue could be completely remedied by ordering the trial court to issue a divorce decree as of April 2021 when the separation decree occurred, and that way the property division would be in line with what South Dakota law authorizes.
But how do you divide the military benefits at that point? It's 2021. Let's say you go back and he hasn't reached 20 years yet, so he's not entitled to retirement. Am I correct about that?
Yes, you are
correct. So how do you divide that today equitably in a situation where they're no longer living together, they're separated, and whether it's under the maintenance or the divorce decree, he continues to work? How do you resolve that issue?
Sure. That's a fair question, Chief Justice. Typically in these types of divorces, you have a formula, and it's submitted then to DFAS, where you have the number of months married over divided by the total months of service times 50%. So then you know, that's how usually the courts can determine a percentage of what Ms. LaFors would be entitled to, even though he continues service past 20 years.
So using that, and this isn't maybe central to anything, but using that Coverture formula here, according to what the circuit court said, Ms. LaFors would be entitled to 50% of the retirement. Not necessarily 50% of the retirement at 20 years, but 50% of the retirement. It may extend beyond 20 years, as we said earlier. Am I reading that correctly?
That is correct, yes. It would be 50% of what she would be entitled to for the length of the marriage, essentially.
Retirement. Well, yeah, I suppose that's true.
Will that be for 18 years then, or for 20?
That would be for 18 years, whatever, however long that they would be married at, you know, in April of 2021.
Well, it would be 20 if under the court's...
Under this court's decree, correct.
It would be
20 years.
And if he served for 24, then she would participate in 20 years of his military retirement.
Correct. And that raises another concern under the court's decree. It had mentioned that she would be entitled to the benefits at the time of the actual decree, basically his base pay at that time. So even though the parties have been separated for 3 years and Ms. LaFors not really contributing to his military career at that point, she would still be entitled to, based on this circuit court's order, all of the promotions and pay raises that he could possibly receive from the separation until 2022. So that was another just issue that I had seen in the trial court's order that causes concern.
So let me ask the practical. Let's say we agree with your position and we say, okay, you can't divide the separate maintenance is fine, but you can't divide the property yet because you haven't gotten a divorce. How do you go about dividing that 2 or 3 years down the road in a divorce trial? How would you propose that that happens?
That's a great question, right? Because you've got a lot of years, since the parties have been separated. And so this court has found that taking value and property division at the time of divorce is the most appropriate time. Well, I just think that complicates a lot of issues, specifically for this case when the parties had more debt than assets and where my client took on about $38,000 worth of debt and left the marriage with absolutely no net worth. I still believe that the easiest and best way to handle this issue would be to reverse and issue a divorce at the time of the separate maintenance decree in April, which would then leave the property division as it stands, and the parties would not have to relitigate that issue, and it wouldn't be something we would have to figure out and how to value those types of things.
So the court indicated that it's going to issue a decree of divorce in June of 2022. Your client's not opposed to the divorce being issued on that date. He just would prefer that it happen sooner, correct?
My client does have an objection to having it issued in June of 2022, particularly because once the trial court denied his divorce, that's when the harm occurred. That's when the harm began for my client in having to, number one, be commanded to stay married upon his objection, number two, commanding him that he stay in the military, and all for the pure financial benefit of Ms. LaFors. And like I've mentioned in my brief, pure financial reasons are not sufficient to justify a denial of divorce. So to answer your question, yes, he would have an objection to issuing it in June, but no objection to issuing it in April of 2021.
Was there any evidence in the record, counsel, that he desired to leave the military prior to reaching his 20-year mark?
I don't believe that there was any proof at trial submitted on those facts. But respectfully, whether Mr. LaForce wanted to leave the military or not, that doesn't negate the fact that the trial court did not have the authority to command him to do to stay in the military in that fashion. SDCL 25440, the separate maintenance decree statute, is clear that separate maintenance is strictly limited to awarding alimony and support for the children, nothing else. It doesn't give the trial court's authority to divide property under that statute. And the majority of other jurisdictions have held that absent clear statutory authority, courts cannot divide the marital estate upon a separation. And I see that I have limited time here, so I will reserve the remainder of my argument for rebuttal.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Wasson, you may proceed with your argument.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, Associate Justices, Attorney Smith. It's indeed an honor, as Attorney Smith indicated, for us to be here with you today. May it please the court, my name is Deborah Watson. I'm a lawyer in Rapid City. As legal counsel for appellee Crystal LaForce, I stand before you today to ask that you affirm Judge Kroll on all of the issues. So the first issue is the decree of separate maintenance. And South Dakota law allows separate maintenance in lieu of a divorce. SDCL 25-439 and 40 provides that the trial court may deny a divorce and may grant separate maintenance upon any grounds which would be grounds for divorce. The statute's reference to may indicates that the trial court has discretion. In this case, the trial court granted the decree of separate maintenance on the grounds of extreme cruelty, finding that Krista's testimony of domestic abuse during the marriage, which resulted in bruising, red marks, and damage to the residence, supported by the photographs, to be credible, and the grounds for separate maintenance were not appealed. The trial court granted the decree of separate maintenance to allow Krista to meet what's called the 2020 military rule requirements. 20 years of marriage of the parties, 20 years of military service by the spouse, and 20 years overlap of marriage and military service.
So the 2020, excuse me, Ms. Watson, the 2020 benefits are in some ways, correct me if I'm wrong, and I might be, different from the retirement. In other words, if the retirement were granted in April of 2021, there's a way, as Ms. Smith indicated, and we know, there's a way to divide the retirement at that point. It would be 18 years of participation in what might ultimately become a military retirement, but you could divide that. The 2020 benefits, as I understand, are different. They're things like obtaining health care through TRICARE, having BAS privileges, commissary privileges, all that. So when we say 2020 benefits, we're really talking about those latter types of benefits, right?
You're right, Your Honor.
Second question. What would guide the circuit court's decision to grant a decree of separate maintenance instead of a divorce? We know what the statute says. The statute says the judge can do it. What do you think should guide the court in making that decision?
Well, the trial court just has to consider all of the facts and the circumstances of the case, the evidence that's submitted, the testimony, the exhibits, weigh the equities within the confines of the law, and then decide
Could a court do it in an effort to effectuate a duty to support, perhaps, that the court perceives one spouse having toward the other, a husband in this case, toward the spouse?
Absolutely.
If the court did that, then, and if that was at the root of what the court had in mind, why would the court go ahead then and not only divide property, but grant alimony or in separate maintenance? Wouldn't that seem to be doing the same thing that the court was trying to do with the decree of separate maintenance?
Well, I think that the decree of separate maintenance was a separate issue from alimony and property. They're kind of all tied together. But in this case, the court awarded the separate maintenance to my client for a number of reasons, and one of them you mentioned was the TRICARE insurance. She can get TRICARE insurance for life at a minimal cost. I believe her testimony was $300 a year. She can also get her own military ID so that she would be able to have access to the base during her lifetime. She's also entitled to go to the base commissary. She has privileges there. She can get groceries at a reduced cost for her and the children. And then her, after the children are grown. She can also has base exchange privileges where she can get clothing, other necessities that, at a reduced cost. And she can get lower interest on her credit cards. And so what the trial court looked at is all of the benefits to Krista in granting this separate maintenance. And it was in a time period. The court said that it would be 14 months before the divorce would be granted from the time of the decree of separate maintenance. We have 4 months left at this point in time. But the benefits to Krista and the children outweighed Mr. LaFleur's desire for an immediate divorce so that he could remarry.
After the circuit court order a serviceman to remain on active duty, say it wasn't 14 months. Well, they would say it was 3 years. Say it wasn't even retirement. Say somebody needed a spouse, a non-military spouse, needed an operation, somebody's enlistment contract was about to run and they were going to leave active duty. Could the court say, you need to re-enlist, stay on active duty, so that this surgery for your non-military spouse will be covered as a medical expense, as an incident to you being a military dependent? Could the court do that? And if so, how long? 3 years? Longer? 4 years?
Well, it's a discretionary ruling of the court. As Justice Kern asked, there wasn't any testimony that Mr. LaFleur wasn't going to continue. That was always the plan. But, you know, what the argument is that he could be held in contempt if he doesn't stay in the military. But as this court knows, contempt requires a judicial finding. The trial court would have to find that his contempt was willful and contumacious, a disregard of the court order. So the trial court basically would then have to look at if Mr. LaFleur left the military, what his reasons were for terminating his military service and obtaining other employment before reaching a decision on his contempt. Basically, what the trial court said is he can't just quit his job to deprive his wife of benefits. In this case, Appellee relied upon a couple of cases. One was a Farrar versus Farrar case. It was a Tennessee case. In that case, there were no minor children. In that case, the court found that the husband was engaged in adulterous conduct, but opposed his wife being granted a divorce. And the court awarded his wife a divorce, which is, you know, quite different from our fact situation here. Appellant also relied upon Hill versus Hill, another Tennessee case. But in Tennessee, they have a statute that allows a legal separation for only 2 years. In that case, Mrs. Hill requested and was granted a legal separation for 4 years. We have no such limitation in South Dakota. It's a discretionary ruling by the court on how long the legal separation would be allowed. In this case, it was less than 2 years. But I just think that the court has to look at all the facts and circumstances in making that determination. And we believe that the trial court did not abuse its discretion in failing to grant an immediate divorce and to allow Krista to have all of these benefits that are available to her under 2020.
So I want to understand your argument. From your brief, I understood that your argument was, well, we think the court can divide the marital assets as a part of a separate maintenance decree. But even if the court couldn't, it was okay because the court also granted a divorce. Am I understanding that argument correctly?
Well, I think that the court has to divide the property in a separate maintenance action because the parties are going to be living separate. Somebody has to get the coffee pot. Somebody has to get the vehicle. I mean, that's just inherent in parties separating. So
that may be the practical response, but what's the legal authority for the court to do that in a separate maintenance?
Well, South Dakota has sort of a hodgepodge of statutes on this. The statute on separate maintenance talks about support, doesn't address property, but, you know, as I indicated, it's sort of inherent in separating. But what's interesting is the early statutes just provide for support, but the later statutes seem to imply that a division of property would occur in that case. The early statutes talk about separate maintenance. Some of the later statutes talk about legal separation. So, but if you look at STCL 43-4-22, it provides exemptions from real estate transfer fees for deeds transferred in a separate maintenance action. If you look at 25-4-75, it talks about dividing assets omitted from a property division in a legal separation action. If you look at 25-479, it talks about jurisdiction over motions for omitted assets in a legal separation action. So I think it's clear that the later statutes imply that there's going to be a property division. So in this case, the court looked at a number of factors required in property division. He looked at the duration of the marriage, which at that time was 18 years. He looked at the value of the property, excluding their retirement. They basically had a negative net worth of, you know, over $24,000. The age of the parties, they were both 36 years old at the time of the separate maintenance action. Health, both parties were able to work. My client had some health issues, but nothing that prevented employment. Competency to earn a living, Mr. LaForce was earning $6,664.31 gross a month. My client was earning less than minimum wage. She was working as a substitute teacher at the school. And then contributions to the accumulation of property. My client got married at 18. During the marriage, early on, she was employed. But once they started having children, she worked part-time to supplement the family income. But her primary role was as a military spouse, a mother, and housewife.
So, Ms. Watson, if I could interrupt. When we talk about divorces, or I suppose for that matter, our discussion here today about separate maintenances or separate maintenance decrees, we usually think, and this may be not, you know, an exclusive list, but usually think of the court's authority to either grant a divorce or a decree of separate maintenance. And certainly in a traditional divorce context, at least, the court's authority to equitably divide the marital estate. You know, if there are children, of course, determine custody and parenting time, set child support, those sorts of things. Help me understand, what are the benefits that Mrs. LaForce got as a result of this decree of separate maintenance? Where do they fall within the realm of what a circuit court is authorized to allow for or provide in either a divorce or a decree of separate maintenance? They're not assets. They're not. What are they? What are these benefits? I mean, no, they're nice to have. No question about it, and I don't begrudge anybody having them by any means. But what are they? And where do they fit into the overall context of this area of the law?
Well, you know, with the separate maintenance, as I indicated, she can get the TRICARE insurance. If she were to get insurance on the open market, she'd lose insurance.
But what are they? Why is the court authorized to do that? Why is the court authorized to hold out until a point in time in order to allow her those benefits? It's not, they aren't assets, they aren't, he's not dividing that stuff. Why is the court authorized to do that? Maybe the court is. It's not a trick question. I mean, maybe it is, but why? And what would we source that to?
Well, the statute says that the trial court can deny a divorce and may grant separate maintenance upon any grounds which would be grounds for divorce. So that allows the court the discretion to decide whether to grant the divorce or to grant separate maintenance. So the court has to look at all the factors and the circumstances, weigh the benefits to the both parties, and then make a determination based upon sound discretion as to what's in the best interest of the parties. And clearly, the trial court found that all of these benefits that Krista would receive in a separate maintenance far outweighed any immediate divorce to her husband. So, you know, all of these benefits, I mean, these are huge benefits. I mean, the TRICARE insurance, the military ID, access to the base. And, you know, she's got two minor children, and her son, Kaiden, has autism, so he has special needs. At one point, he was hospitalized in the mental hospital for a while, so it was really important for her to make sure that she had the ability to provide for the children. I see my time's up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. Ms. Smith, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
I would like to address, Your Honor, Justice Salter, some of your questions to Ms. Watson. To start, you had asked, when can the court deny a divorce? And I think when you look at the statute, at the beginning it states, though a divorce is denied, it then goes on, the court may issue a separate maintenance. And I think it's important to note that the statute does not authorize wrongful or erroneous denial of divorce. I view that statute to mean when grounds do not exist. And typically, you know, when grounds do not exist, the court may deny a spouse a divorce. So typically...
And it's such a, I would note that the clock... Indeed, there aren't grounds, obviously, and then there's going to be a lifetime decree of separation. There would have to be a property division at that point. You would agree?
Respectfully, I would disagree. I don't find that any of the statutes still allow for a property division under a separate maintenance decree upon a denial. Now, I think the parties can agree to divide their property under a separate maintenance decree, and that happens all the time, right? In divorces, parties agree to things that the court could otherwise not authorize. For example, a spouse's willingness to pay for a child's tuition. You know, they could enter a stipulation to that fact, to those terms, and a court could adopt an order enforcing it. And the court and the parties could agree to divide their personal their marital estate upon a separation, but I still don't think that the courts any statute or law provides the court authority to do it upon one's objection. As with any claim or petition, the moving party must carry the burden of proof when you're talking about grounds. So a failure of proof on part of a moving party on the grounds for divorce could indeed result in a judgment of divorce being denied. And I've actually had that happen before where a spouse comes forward on grounds, the trial court says, nope, there's not enough proof, so you either agree to irreconcilable differences or I can't issue a divorce. That's typically what happens. But that's not what happened in this case. The court did find that grounds existed, and Ms. LaFors had a claim for, in the alternative, a divorce in her counterclaim.
But those same grounds under our statute can support a decree of separate maintenance under our statute, correct?
That is correct.
So then why is it an abuse of discretion here when the same grounds can support either?
My position would be that the denial of the divorce was for wrongful reasons. So I think in another circumstance that the court could deny a divorce based on failure of proof or when the parties can agree to a separate maintenance on those grounds. So if a party believes that maybe reconciliation is possible, I think the two parties can agree that separate maintenance is appropriate, and the court could still award a spouse a divorce on those grounds.
But the statute doesn't require it to be a situation where their parties are contemplating a reconciliation, does it?
No, it does not. I would submit still the courts still do not have the authority to wrongfully or erroneously deny a divorce under these circumstances in this case.
Do you see any connection between the particular ground here, the extreme cruelty, and the court's separate maintenance order and the conditions attached to it?
The court did not particularly make findings that was the reason for the denial of the divorce. The trial court really didn't even make any findings as to the grounds and the reason for, obviously, the property division or, you know, the specific reasons for the denial. It was Ms. LaFors should have these lifetime TRICARE benefits, and Mr. LaFors, you need to stay in the military so that those things could happen. I don't believe, if you look at the findings, that they would indicate that the trial court viewed the grounds and used those grounds to then justify the denial of the divorce. There's also instances where a divorce must be denied. And if you look at 25.419, it discusses where divorces must be denied upon showing connivance, collusion, condonation, those types of things. And I do want to touch, again, Justice Alter, on your point. Where do we draw the line, right? So if the discretion to allow a trial court to deny a divorce, not based on failure of grounds, it could result in a trial court issuing a separate maintenance decree over an objection for a period of, 5, 10 years? I think that's important. You know, where do we draw the line in terms of the trial court's discretion under these types of cases? And I believe that is the time that I have. And with that, I would ask that the court reverse the separate maintenance decree, issue an order that the trial court issue a divorce retroactive to April 2021, and remand the issue of alimony. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel, for your arguments this morning. The case is now submitted. We'll be in recess for 10 minutes.